Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour space shuttle shuffle. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Boise to Brooklyn, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. Hey, you're on
air. They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at RocketMortgageSquares.com. So glad you're with us. Awesome show coming up for you today. Joining us here on the program a little bit later on in the show is one of the most dynamic backs of his era. He was a 4-time Pro Bowl running back for the Kansas City Chiefs before the Patrick Mahomes era was ushered in. Andy Reid's workhorse was this guy. Jamaal Charles will join us here on the show to look ahead to divisional round NFL playoff weekend in hour number 4. And right before we do, Jamaal Charles will have another fantastic football great. He was a member of the all-70s decade team in the NFL, one of the toughest SOBs that ever played the game. He was known as the John Wayne of football. He's a member of the Rams Ring of Honor. Jack Youngblood is going to join us. He's going to drop on by also in hour number 4. So stay here or come back, because Jack Youngblood and Jamaal Charles in the same hour discussing divisional round playoff weekend is going to be phenomenal. Also this morning on the show, Brady and Breeze, 42 years old versus 43 years old. Father Time and these two guys at the NFL will discuss the storylines that surround Bucks and Saints this weekend in 20 minutes. We've got crazy Ocho Cinco audio for you also this hour in 40 minutes. It appears Urban Meyer is also considering the Chargers job on top of the Jaguars job, which is a better gig. The Bears held one of the worst press conferences ever yesterday in Chicago sports. And a soccer team belts out Adele. We grade out their singing. It's all coming up this morning here on the show. Any of those topics you want to jump in on, 855-212-4CBS. Again, that's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Anything else happened yesterday? Oh, that's right. The Brooklyn Nets sent everything they own except for Kevin Durant to the Houston Rockets for James Harden. We did a lot on James Harden's comments yesterday because two nights ago, Harden basically gave up on the Rockets. Harden had clearly tanked it trying to get out of town, trying to shoot his way out of town. For the first time in his Rockets career, he went four consecutive games scoring 20 points or less. He had shown up to camp, shown up to the season, very overweight, dare I say, puffy. And two nights ago saying, we're just not good enough. This team's not good enough. We don't have the pieces, yada, yada, yada. And yesterday, I talked about how unprofessional I thought it was from James Harden. I understand in today's NFL, in today's NBA, that the players can work where they want to go when they want to go there through agents and front offices and owners, etc. Harden's not the first star to get star treatment. He won't be the last star to get star treatment, and he's been a scoring champ three consecutive seasons. So the guy is a potential future Hall of Famer. He's an MVP. He gets star treatment. I get that. I am totally fine in the NBA or any other sport where the elite players get treated differently. What I'm not cool with is showing up to work and the rest of your guys balling out and you try to play a slug because you don't want to be there. I don't like that. And to hear some of his teammates like John Wall and Boogie Cousins talk about James Harden, you can see the lack of respect they had for him. I mean, John Wall's been there for like 6 minutes. And already he's like, look, you've actually got to try to just kind of wave everybody off already. That's not fair. And if we're not all pulling in the same direction, it's obviously going to be bad, and you're not pulling in the same direction, and so it is bad. So his teammates didn't have respect for him, and that's where I lose respect for James Harden as well. But for the Brooklyn Nets, they saw something different. They didn't see a guy that was going to sink their team. They saw the final piece of the puzzle for their team to win a championship. Trading away Caris LeVert, Jarrett Allen in a four-team mega deal, and three first-round draft picks. So they just flat-out don't have a first-round draft pick in these 3 years, 22, 24, 26. And four first-round pick swaps, which means in those 4 years, the team that they traded with has the option to flip with the Brooklyn Nets if the Nets have a better first-round draft pick. The only reason the Nets didn't trade all of those first-rounders is because you're not allowed to do so. The owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers back in the early 80s didn't care about competitiveness, and so he just traded multiple first-rounders in a row, and they realized, this is a bad idea, and so the league just outlawed it. But so the Brooklyn Nets will have the worst of the two draft picks for whoever he traded to eventually in four of these years, and then the other three, they just flat-out don't have a first-round draft pick. Talk about mortgaging your future. So young players traded. A total of seven different first-round draft picks are traded in some way. And what you get in return is James Harden. This is one of the biggest bets in NBA history. It's one of the biggest risks in sports history. Either the Brooklyn Nets win a championship, or this looks utterly insane. And for a franchise that had just tried this with Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett a couple of years ago, and that obviously blew up in their face. The question is obviously, are the Nets insane for doing this trade? It is where we begin your cold open.
I love this city. I literally, you know, have done everything that I can. This situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, yeah. Thanks.
I just feel like it's a way about, you know, handling business. He can feel however he wants to feel with the organization or whatever his current situation is. But the other 14 guys in the locker room have done nothing to him. So for us to be on the receiving end of some of the, you know, disrespectful comments and antics, it's completely unfair to us. Like I said, we've done nothing to him. We've only showed up to work just like everybody else and came in ready to work. So, like I said, it's completely unfair to the rest of the guys in the locker room.
He's going to do what he does best. And I think it'd be good for us, but I don't look at it as a restart. You know, it's just another juice of energy that we're going to get from, you know, him being on the floor and being part of this team.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Hart Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
So that was James Harden's comments from two nights ago. That was DeMarcus Cousins ripping into James Harden, and then Jeff Green on the trade for James Harden. Here's my thought. I don't like this deal for the Nets. I don't like it. But I understand it. Okay, and here's why. I don't like it because what I really liked was the Brooklyn Nets building brick by brick a positive winning culture. That Sean Marks, the GM of the Nets, had come from San Antonio, inherited the worst situation arguably in the NBA with absolutely no assets, and built it with savviness and sophistication, brick by brick by brick, until he had dragged the organization out of dire situations and had made it once again an interesting roster, a young roster, an athletic roster, and they had assets. And then signing Kevin Durant and signing Kyrie Irving was the next step for them because they needed a star or stars to be competitive in a NBA Finals type of realm. But they didn't have to lose players to do that. Those were just signings. Those were just adding players. You're still keeping all of those young pieces you had brought in. You had to trade D'Angelo Russell because of redundancy at that position with Kyrie Irving. But ultimately, you are not losing guys you want to keep. This is blowing up everything you built. This is trading away and mortgaging the future and the present right now with all those young pieces for one guy. So three first-rounders and four pick swaps and Jarrett Allen, who was a very good draft pick, and Caris LeVert, who had developed into a really good player, you had just traded away all of those pieces. And I don't like that. Because I think that you were so smart if you're the Brooklyn Nets in building it, and now all of that goes away. And it goes away for a guy that'll do that to the Rockets. It's traded away for that guy. It's traded away for that guy. A guy that has proven if he doesn't like his situation, is willing to actively tank his team. And that's why I don't like this. That's why I don't like this. Here's why I get it. I get it because the Brooklyn Nets have always been irrelevant. They were the New Jersey Nets as irrelevant and the Brooklyn Nets as irrelevant in the city. It is a Knicks town. It's been a Knicks town for decades. And to actually become the centerpiece of basketball discussion in the biggest media market in the United States, you have to win championships. You can't just be good or go to the playoffs or have a few good runs. You've got to win a championship. So that's the first part. The second part is James Harden gives the Brooklyn Nets three superstars. Gives them three superstars. And three superstars has been the key to winning championships in the LeBron era. LeBron obviously did that in Miami. LeBron obviously did that in Cleveland. The Golden State Warriors did that when they've won championships, and maybe the Lakers don't have a third superstar, but collecting the most talent around LeBron has obviously led to being a champion. This is what the Brooklyn Nets are trying to do. They're going, we've got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and now you add James Harden, and that's our three superstars, and that usually is a recipe for success in the NBA. So I get it there. But I don't like the addition of James Harden's attitude with Kyrie Irving's attitude. And I don't like taking away all those great young pieces and future draft picks that was supposed to sustain the success for the Brooklyn Nets. And betting on the attitudes and the focus and the commitment of KD James Harden and Kyrie Irving feels like the most dramatic risk you could possibly take. You know, it's different when you're betting on LeBron James and Anthony Davis, or LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. Or even when you have a franchise that's won a championship with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond, and then you add Kevin Durant. Those feel like more understandable bets. But this, I mean, this is a scratch-off ticket where it's if you scratch off the four cherries, you win $700 million. If you don't, you lose your home. You scratching off that ticket? Are you buying that ticket? I don't like the deal, but I understand it. But it's the greatest risk in sports right now. And it's perhaps the greatest risk that we've seen to the NBA in many, many moons. I want to get your thoughts on this. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. I know you guys got thoughts on Twitter, DA on CBS. Our dictator himself, Sean Mraz, is a dyed-in-the-wool, lifelong Nets fan dating back to their New Jersey Nets days. And so I'm sure he has some very intense emotions about all of this. Mraz, I want to start here. When you heard the news yesterday, what did you feel?
Excitement. I definitely felt excitement because it's still, despite all the negativity, it's, wow, these are the Nets, and they really are all in. And I've sat back and watched big threes and all this other stuff, and it's my basketball team that gets to taste that for the next couple of years. This is exciting, even if it blows up.
Okay. Number two. What's the best part about this deal?
I think the best part about this deal is it protects against Kyrie's flightiness. So, in other words, basically, we expect Kyrie to come back, but the problem is you can't count on Kyrie week in and week out now, unfortunately, to be there for the team if he could walk away like this. And if Kevin Durant basically has a 2-3 year window before he could choose to leave again, like so many superstars are, well, you got to capitalize while Durant is here. And unfortunately, right now, Kyrie is your 1B star. Anything could go awry. He could simply walk away come the postseason or something like that, and this could all blow up in one of these couple runs that the Nets have. So I think the best part about this is no matter what happens with Kyrie, they're at least protected against his flightiness to have a 1B to go to Kevin Durant's 1A right now in the postseason.
Good point. What's the worst part about this deal?
The worst part about this deal to me is the draft picks that you've basically punted on the next 8 years of draft picks. And if this blows up, and again it can, and Kevin Durant leaves, like we talked about last year. And I know Paul George has signed a contract extension, but when they make that move for Paul George, if Kawhi and Paul George were to leave, we said, well, what the heck are the Clippers left with? Doing this again like they did for Garnett and Pierce, and I think this is a much better deal than that one, but they were very fortunate enough to find the right GM and draft properly with the picks they had. Asking yourself to do that a second time is a lot to ask for. And obviously, I think the draft picks are the much bigger deal in knowing that if you don't win, you are going to be a dead and buried franchise once again.
So those that compare it to the Pierce and KG trade, that's unfair because those two guys were totally washed up.
Yep.
By the time they got those two guys, Paul Pierce was 35, Kevin Garnett was 37. And they were looking for those guys to be the culture, to be the winners. They had nothing around them, and clearly it wasn't, and they were too old to do it. So this is a better bet because you're bringing in a guy in his prime. I think Harden's 31 years old. But you just touched on something which makes this the craziest scratch-off ticket of all time, is that Kevin Durant can leave. Kyrie Irving may retire or just be completely combustible, which would leave you with just James Harden in 2 years and exactly what the Rockets are going through right now. And so at that point, if you're a mediocre team, is James Harden going to play this card again?
Yep.
And want to shoot his way out of town? And then you are left with absolutely nothing, a totally empty bag. Here's my question, Mraz. You have watched, observed, studied this franchise, this front office and this GM since he took over the franchise. Do you think Sean Marks, left to his own devices, a San Antonio Spurs guy, wanted to do this or would have done this? Or is this because Kevin Durant pressured him to do it and he realized we're at the mercy of Kevin Durant because if we don't capitalize with KD, all of this is for naught?
I think you nailed it. Bingo. Bingo. If Sean Marks left to his own devices, I'm sure Sean Marks would prefer to hit some kind of big pick like the Spurs did with Kawhi Leonard later in the first round, hope they could develop him and build a team that way. But once you've signed Kevin Durant as your lead star, this is the NBA now. And that is something on the NBA. And I think as a general manager, you need to yield now and basically, within reason, bow down to anything to make sure that your superstar is happy and capitalize and win a championship, because that's what's most important. Not just making the playoffs or not making deep runs. Win a championship when you have this guy on your team and Kevin Durant. And unfortunately, those picks down the road aren't going to help you do that right now. James Harden is something that can help you do that, especially, as I touched on, if you can't trust Kyrie Irving right now.
I agree. I don't think Sean Marks does this unless Kevin Durant is pressing him to do it. I don't think Sean Marks is the type of guy coming from the culture that he came from that wants to trade away 8 years of draft picks. But I think he's caught in this crazy no-win situation. He can't upset Kevin Durant right now and not give Durant the pieces that Durant thinks he needs, because then signing Kevin Durant is a waste, because Kevin Durant is pressing the button of, I'm the superstar that you brought in, I'm the all-timer, and this is what I need. So it doesn't make any sense to sign Kevin Durant, not even have him play all of last season, have the clock ticking, and then not give him what he thinks he needs. Even if you don't think he needs it. I mean, that's the thing. You and I talked about this a lot last year when Kyrie Irving had the gall to say, we need more around here. And we're like, no, you've got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. You don't need more. You need to be enough. You two need to be enough. But that only goes so far, because you can't war with your star players and say, no, you do it, because then they pull the James Harden and they emotionally check out, and then all of this is for naught. So you kind of have to, and that worries me about this, that I don't think Sean Marks wanted to really do this. He felt he had to do this.
I agree, but ultimately, as we see, this is the NBA now, and you have to bow down to these superstars, and you have to, when you have them, you have to capitalize. The Nets aren't the Lakers. This might be, the next 3 years might be the only shot as a Net fan I get to see my team win a championship. So they're doing all they can to do that. How do I not applaud that and be excited for that?
Are the Nets crazy or crazy like a fox to make this deal? Hit me up on the phone at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Plenty more on this mega trade coming up from the Rocket standpoint, from Kevin Durant's standpoint, and much, much more. But when we come back this weekend, it's Saints and Bucks, it's Breeze and Brady, it's 42 versus 43 years old. Is age nothing but a number or a big part of this game? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little Drippy 24-7.
I was born in the dark, raised in it, gravitated in it.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. The DA show could be heard on your smart speaker, so just simply tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. We're talking about the huge mega trade involving four teams, and James Harden ultimately landing in Brooklyn as the Brooklyn Nets go all in. KD, Kyrie, whenever he decides to show up, and James Harden, and not much else. This weekend, Saints and Bucks divisional round playoffs. It's kind of crazy. We keep talking about how Tom Brady's 43, 43, 43, but Drew Brees is almost as old, and I don't think he gets nearly as much attention for how old he is. This week, tomorrow, in fact, he's going to turn 42, rather. So tomorrow is his birthday. He'll be 42. And so in this game, you'll have 43-year-old Tom Brady and 42-year-old Drew Brees. Is this notable? Hell yes, it's notable. And it is notable because Drew Brees has had the great misfortune to play in the shadows of more dynamic and, dare I say, greater quarterbacks his entire career. Drew Brees was not Tom Brady. He was not Peyton Manning. He was not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Patrick Mahomes. Those are four, arguably, of the greatest quarterbacks ever. You know, when there is NFL 150, you might see those four guys all on that Mount Rushmore or on that roster of NFL 150. And you won't see Drew Brees, because we didn't even see Drew Brees at NFL 100. 42 years old. He's still slinging it. 42 freaking years old. Remember that graphic last week during the Buccaneers and Washington game where they showed the graphic of the oldest players ever to throw a postseason touchdown? And it was Tom Brady and George Blanda at 43. And George Blanda looked like he was 73. That's the way 42 and 43-year-old quarterbacks used to look. I mean, by the time Montana hit 38 years old, it was no bueno anymore. It was rough to watch by the very end. Not that he was ineffective, but you just felt like he was so brittle that something was going to go wrong. And ultimately, he gets knocked out in Buffalo in a playoff game. And you say, okay, that's it. And he walks away. I mean, at one point, the greatest quarterback of all time hit 38 years old. And you just said, he can't do this much longer. These guys are 5 and 6 years older than that. So hell yeah, age is a storyline here. It's insane what both these guys are doing. It's insane. But it's also insane that this could be Drew Brees' last game. He's retiring after this season. I am absolutely convinced. So this is it. Is Tom Brady ultimately going to do what he has done to so many other quarterbacks? Beat them en route to a Super Bowl and send them home unceremoniously to where they then have to think about their fate. It may happen. Now, I like the Saints of this game. Obvious reason. Saints have beaten them twice in this season. It's on the road to the Superdome, and I think the Saints are a more balanced, better team. I think the Buccaneers struggling with Washington, was a bad sign for taking on much better opponents, including the Saints. So I like New Orleans in this game. But is Brady versus Brees at this age a story? No doubt it is. That is reason to watch. If you're an NFL fan, you might just want to see Tom Brady. But knowing that these two guys are doing it this well at this age is a remarkable achievement. It is. I'll always respect both those guys for that. No doubt. On the phones, we're talking about this huge trade for James Harden by the Nets and if they're crazy to do it. Remy is in Ventura, California, here on CBS Sports Radio. Remy, what's up? Good morning.
Hey, what's up, DA, and you and Mraz? You guys are a kick in the butt, man. I really enjoy you.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, listen, no problem. Hey, what they did there is, to me, in my opinion, is they're just trying to see what that jerk with the mental problem, whatever he's up to see if he can cooperate with two of the best. 3-point shots, that's what they're going to rely on, those guys. But he's the guy, what's his name, that one I'm talking about?
Kyrie Irving.
Nobody knows. Yeah, Kyrie Irving. He's had a mental problem, man. Nobody knows what's up. And you know what I believe, 2DA, is that the mafia is involved in this.
Ooh. How so?
Yes, sir. However, I'm going to switch gears now.
No. Don't switch gears. I want this theory. How is the mafia involved?
I'm telling you, it's Brooklyn, New York, right?
Uh-huh.
And believe me, I'm old enough to know what the hell's going on between Chicago and New York back in the day.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just my theory. No biggie.
Well, what's the theory, though? How did the mafia pull this off? How do you think they have some influence?
For God's sakes, you know how quiet they can be and still get them done.
Okay, so you think the Brooklyn Mafia has a vested interest in the Brooklyn Nets and helped swing the trade by forcing Sean Marks to trade all those draft picks?
Oh, it could have been a nice discussion.
Okay. All right. So you think they might have intimidated Sean Marks into doing this?
And also, what's his name? Came from the... I'm losing my train of thought. The
that's
one
okay.
that's a three-pointer, that's all he could do.
James Harden?
Listen. No, not Harden. But he had a lot. He's got a lot of momentum. He is running. How do you coach your guys like that?
There's now, which guy are you talking about? Are you talking about Harden, Kevin Durant, or Kyrie Irving?
Kevin Durant. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Listen, you don't coach that guy. And he's telling the manager and the coach, Nash, is that his name?
Yes, Steve Nash.
Listen, he's like a puppet. He's going to go with what these gentlemen are going to say between Harden and Durant. He can't stand up to guys that are just professional. You can't coach them because they know what they need to do to win.
I like it. Remy, I appreciate the phone call, brother. Thanks so much. I love the conspiracy theory as well, that the mafia might have leaned on Sean Marks to get this deal done. I would say that also Remy in Ventura, California sounded a lot like a wrestler. I'm going to turn to Pete the Body Bellotti, our resident wrestling aficionado. What wrestler did he sound like? Was that a macho man from Remy?
Slightly a macho man. I think he sounded like his own character, and it was a character in that.
Okay. So Remy could be his own WWE character.
And it, okay. Sounded like something.
A kind sir, Andrew Bogish, is in for headlines. And Bogues, I don't know about what you think about the mafia theory there, but I did want just your straight thought on the trade. What do you think about the Nets mortgaging 8 draft picks or 7 draft picks for all of this?
Yeah, I can't fathom the logic of, we don't know where Kyrie Irving is or when he's coming back. You know what we should do? Trade for an unhappy, overweight guy. That seems like a thing that we should add to our table. So that's a real hard sell for me, but they're better than they were a couple of days ago, and I think their lack of depth problem is being blown out of proportion now. I think there's still enough guys around those three when they're all together, theoretically, to be a very useful team. And if the Sixers were the other team, and all of that was true, and Ben Simmons was up for grabs here, to keep Harden off another Eastern Conference team is also a win for the Nets here, too, because if he goes there, then that's a different road through the East for Brooklyn. So there's also a slight win in them keeping him from one of their competitors.
I don't like the trade, but I get it. Mraz likes the trade. Do you like it or dislike it?
I guess I don't like it because I think it's more likely to be the defining moment of the franchise for the next decade in a negative way than it is in a positive way. Because they really have 2 years now to win an NBA title. And even if everything goes okay for them, there's still LeBron on the other side that's good enough right now to prevent them from winning. So the window is really, really small right now. If the window is, you know, like 2 more years, if it's a 4-year window to get this done, I'd be a little more okay with it. But they've given themselves 2 seasons to get this done, and that's asking a lot, even in a perfect scenario of Harden and Durant and Irving meshing well together.
We're going to have a lot of discussion on this trade all morning long, especially from the Rockets side of things as well. But AB also has the rest of our headlines this morning, so where do we begin?
Well, we begin with this trade, and because of it and injuries, the Nets only had 9 players available last night at the Garden. They were also playing for the 5th time in 7 days, so Steve Nash was proud of the, I guess the Mafia was too, of the 116-109 win, depending on who they bet, over the Knicks.
They came out and were professional, did a great job defensively, moved the ball offensively, made simple plays, didn't turn it over, you know, battled on the boards, so... You know, overall, I was really proud of the way they played under what was it? Was
so,
long
again,
week.
9 guys played. 7 of them scored in double figures, led by 26 from Kevin Durant. The Knicks, meanwhile, have now lost 4 in a row. It is 4 straight wins for the Blazers, 132-126 over the Kings. Portland hitting a team record-tying 23 threes. Damian Lillard scored 40. Those Lakers rolled through OKC 128-99. They're 7-0 on the road and a league best 10-3 overall. The Bucks beat the Pistons 110-101 with Giannis posting 22 points, 10 boards, and 10 assists. Memphis won in Minnesota 118-107, and the Clippers took care of the Pelicans.
George down the right alley. Euro step and kick out. Straight away, Leonard back to George. Relocate left wing three. Bottom! Paul George, bullseye! The 2-1-3 connection once again with a big bucket to make it 108-90.
I know that voice from the slime zone.
Yeah.
That's Noah Eagle who called the Nickelodeon game.
Yes.
2-point-something million people watched that broadcast. It could not have been a bigger success.
Yep, Nickelodeon's NFL broadcasted about 2 million viewers and pretty overwhelmingly positive. And Noah Eagle was the voice of that broadcast, and he was the perfect fit. He's 22 or 23 years old. They wanted kind of a laid-back, younger vibe. Nate Burleson was very good as well. They nailed it. That was an experiment and a win as an experiment.
And he knew about Sandy Cheeks, guys. Not many people know about Sandy Cheeks.
He had his SpongeBob trivia down, and that made it work. Like, I was thinking to myself, imagine Nance on that call.
Oh.
Or imagine any of these kind of stiff upper lip, truly professional play-by-play guy that you hear sometimes call the NFL, trying to do that broadcast. It would have been just awkward and awful. Noah, at 23 years old, was the perfect fit for it.
Yeah, imagine Nance handing his tie to basically Lex Lumpkin or whatever. That would have been real awkward.
By the way, we mentioned the toast thing with Nance a couple of weeks ago, and I just wanted to clarify this because I had forgotten this story. Jim Nance, when he orders toast, likes it burnt. He likes it black. He likes black burnt toast. And when he goes out for breakfast, especially on the road, when he asks for burnt toast, they bring it back, and they don't really think he wants it like charred to a crisp, but they bring it back like dark or maybe somewhat black, but not totally black. He now carries a laminated card around that his wife gave him that shows the shade of toast he wants, and he shows it to the waitress or the waiter because his wife noticed how angry he was getting that his toast wasn't burnt enough. That's the toast story.
And now I'm angry for hearing it.
First world problems, huh?
The Clippers, by the way, won that game last night, 111-106. Paul George scored 27. The Pelicans play without the injured Lonzo Ball and Eric Bledsoe, and Zion Williamson did not play either. He returned an inconclusive COVID test earlier in the day. On that front, the NBA postponing two more games because of the virus. The Wizards can't play the Pistons. The Suns can't host the Warriors. Both those games were tomorrow. From the NFL, Niners DC Robert Saleh interviewed with the Eagles yesterday, hours after completing his second meeting with the Jets. And the Broncos hired George Payton as their general manager. He's been with the Vikings for the last 14 years. Hockey was back last night. St. Louis won in Colorado 4-1. The Lightning took care of Chicago 5-1 after celebrating their Stanley Cup win. And from college hoops, number 15 Texas Tech, a 79-77 win at fourth-ranked Texas. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. When we come back, we have pretty ridiculous Chad Ochocinco audio. It's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio. UNCBS,
you're looking good. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for being with us, everybody. You can listen to us on SiriusXM Channel 206 every morning. SiriusXM Channel 206. We appreciate you dropping on by and spending time with us each and every morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, right here on the CBS Sports Radio Network. So to be fair, there was a point in time where I liked Chad Johnson / Ochocinco. I thought he brought fun. I thought he brought enthusiasm. And to a Bengals organization that obviously had been boring and bad for a long time, Chad Johnson clearly gave them some juice. And his sideline antics at one point in time were charming. They became less so as it wore on, and I thought that he became desperate. I thought he became desperate for attention. And I actually covered him when he was in New England at the very end, and I saw it there as well. It was, everything was so staged in terms of attention grabbing. Everything was supposed to be wacky Ochocinco, And it detracted from the football and his football career, and it made him more of a sideshow than anything. And I think since then, Ocho Cinco, who I like to call Ocho Stinko or No Quecho Cinco, has felt more and more desperate for attention. But I will say that he can be very entertaining. Here is a clip of him arguing with Brandon Marshall on a podcast, I Am Athlete podcast. And on this podcast, they are arguing about being healthy players over the course of their career. Brandon Marshall did everything to be healthy, ate healthy, slept, hyperbaric chambers, all that type of stuff. Took his body as a temple to a very serious degree. Chad Johnson, a.k.a. Ocho Cinco, ate tons of McDonald's. And this is what they're arguing about. Listen to this audio and listen to how wild and crazy the argument gets between Ocho Cinco and Brandon Marshall.
If you were, your lifestyle, if you were eating better, and if you were sleeping better, matter. Just listen. Listen,
baby,
if you
what
were
time
eating,
do I go to bed?
Listen to me.
What time do I go to bed? Do I club? Do I drink?
You're eating McDonald's.
But this ain't telling me the fucking McDonald's
you're
is the reason.
McDonald's.
What is McDonald's in my career?
What are you talking about? Do you understand
all
the power of
listen,
food?
You're fucking brainwashed.
Do you understand?
I'm brainwashed. Yes, you're brainwashed.
This is science.
This is science.
Good carbs. Good. What are you talking about?
Science. You're fucking brainwashed by these people that are these made up ass shit. You believe supersize me? You believe in that shit too? No, it's
It's not about that.
Have you been hurt? Chad, hey, how many times you got hurt?
You know it seems... Never! Never!
How many times you been hurt?
Never!
Brandon, how many
times
you been hurt?
How many times you hurt?
You was lining up with your 40 grand of protein today, and you got hurt, and he was eating McDonald's and never got hurt.
Bruh, I played 13 years. Do you understand?
You got hurt.
Do you understand my
I
numbers?
I played 11.
Let me tell you about science.
Tell me about science.
I had MCLs.
Why'd you get hurt?
I had high ankle sprain.
Why'd you get hurt?
I had a high ankle sprain. They said 6 weeks.
Why'd
and
you
I
get
came
hurt?
Back the next week and scored 3 touchdowns.
I never got hurt.
It don't matter.
Never.
I can't control if a dude hit me in my ankle. You was lucky.
What do you mean?
You was one of the ones that got
I
lucky.
Got hit in the head
so
every game.
If you're running across the middle of the field and somebody takes
that
your knee.
That happened all the time.
Somebody take your
it
knee.
It happened all the time.
And we were all stupider for hearing that clip. Brandon Marshall, Chad Ocho Cinco on the I Am Athlete podcast. Now, it finishes up with them really screaming at one another. And then finally, Brandon Marshall gets Chad Johnson to break. Ocho Cinco starts laughing and then tackles Brandon Marshall on the couch. So I guess it's all good. It definitely doesn't sound all good there, but it ends up, I guess, being all good. But could you imagine being Chad Ocho Cinco and launching into a tirade that because he ate McDonald's every day, it helped him stay healthier, and that Brandon Marshall eating well and taking care of his body was a mistake, and that's why he got hurt. That is what Ocho Cinco was arguing there. That had he just followed Ocho Cinco's all McDonald's all the time game plan, he would have been healthier and better, but he just got brainwashed into thinking that science worked. I mean, look, Mraz, I know you love fast food. I know you love yourself a good McDonald's hit, as do I. But the idea that a professional athlete would think that healthy food and healthy living is a mistake and right. being brainwashed is an all-timer.
Yeah. I mean, the idea that I ate fast food is probably the reason I never ended up in the NFL. So I'm the opposite, Chad Johnson.
Are you an Ocho Cinco fan, or did you find him annoying?
I think I'm with you. I liked him for a long time, and then I just got tired of him.
Yeah. You get exhausted from Ocho Cinco. When we come back, Urban Meyer apparently has a decision. Jaguars or Chargers? What's the better job? It's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.